How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Before we get into today's episode, we want to talk about something very important that needs to be addressed immediately. Dads have way too thick of wallets.
Why?
Bro,
why is your wallet so thick? There's no need for like receipts and old theater tickets.
A picture of me playing soccer in seventh grade. I didn't even score that season, Dad. Why do you have it in there?
No reason, dude. There's no reason.
It's old school, Dad. You need to get you a Ridge wallet. It's that front pocket walletto. All right. You know, you ever put a wallet in your front pocket?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I just did that with a Ridge wallet, and I feel like I got money now,
dude.
It's up front. You're flexing with it, you know?
Also, you don't feel like you get pickpocketed, dude.
No.
No one's going front pickpocket.
Uh-uh.
No one's
at that point, I was like, that might just be sexual. Like,
yeah.
Get in there.
That's what I'm saying. And, dude, I think my girl honestly could use this because she's always like my wallet is just too big. I can't fit it anywhere. But this one, boom, right in her tight jeans, right in the front, dude.
And even better, you get a cell phone case and you put some wallets in there. You can put wallets in your wallets. You could be the exhibit of Pimp My Ride with the wallet, okay?
Ooh, ooh.
So don't be a dad and go get you a modern 2019. This is the Tesla of wallets.
Made of adamantium.
So go to ridgewallet.com/socks for 10% off your order.
Do it.
Link in the bio.
Shoo-weep.
What up?
Hey.
Welcome to another episode of Stiff Socks. I am your host, one of them, Trevor Wallace.
I
have to say my name because sometimes people don't know what I sound like.
People always ream us. I'm Michael Blauson. This is Michael Blauson's voice. Everyone goes, I don't know who's who. Well, now you know who's who.
Voices.
Dude, I do so many voices, man.
A lot
man.
Of voices. And another voice you might hear today is the rich laughter. That was a very rich laugh.
Oh, he's so wealthy, bro.
That's black dad laugh.
That's a good, that is. Right, right. That is none other than Mr. Kev on stage.
What up, your boy Kev on stage? You feel me?
God, have you always had a singing voice?
This is awful. Like, white people think I can sing.
Let me tell you something.
White people don't know what good singing sounds like. So they're just like, oh, man, amazing.
That is so
Black
true.
People are like, you're trash. So that's why I like hanging out with whites.
Can we just gas you the whole time?
Oh, it's so easy to impress. They're just like, oh, my gosh, it's amazing.
I mean, our singing is very like the John Mayer. That's for us. We're like, oh, my God, like goosebumps everywhere.
Like, who's your boy, Hozier? There's a video of him singing in the subway. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
And white people were like, oh, amazing. And this black girl was like, boy, if y'all don't get this trash voice out of here. And everybody black was like, boy, he trash out here in the subway.
That's what I love when Twitter comes together. When black Twitter comes in and gives the real commentary, it's great.
But, it was fantastic, man.
But he is 100% my boy.
But in fairness, I thought he was. I enjoyed it.
You read the comments and you're like, I guess he is kind of trash.
Yeah. No, I was like, I actually liked his voice.
The
like
comments alter however.
Oh
I feel
man,
about
bro, you know it's interesting. My YouTube, for whatever reason, YouTube is having a pedophile problem. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, right? So what's happening?
I'm very
is,
aware of that. Man.
Yeah.
Too aware of it.
So what's been happening is like, yeah. So all my comments have been disabled on my YouTube for like the last 3 weeks.
Wow.
So it's because I have kids in some of my videos, like if you feature minors. So pedophiles were doing, they were basically finding videos with kids in them, like, you know, you have babies with no shirts on and stuff or swimming or whatever,
kids dancing.
And they would put a comment, and they would comment the time, like 1324 or whatever. And they would add it to a playlist. And then other pedophiles were finding these playlists with the time marked.
What in R. Kelly is going on here?
So YouTube had a sweeping, like,
you've
got to shut this down. You have kids.
No comments.
No comments.
Yo, what was the playlist called? Like, just jacked babies?
I have no idea.
Swole ass babies.
So what's funny is with no comments on my YouTube page, like, you're forced to just watch it. You can't You can't say how you feel. You can't be like,
the comments are the best part.
It's so frustrating.
Let me ask you this real quick. Do you feel better that you don't have comments?
You know, I don't. I do and I don't.
Right.
I'm upset because it's part of the engagement and the conversation. Yeah. You gotta get a feel for how people talk. But also, people can't say dumb stuff if they can't comment.
Right.
So it's just like watching and
just
shut
like
up.
Yelling out the window. They're like, this is trash.
So they're finding my videos on other platforms and being like, here you are on Facebook. This sucked.
Jeez.
And I had to come to another app to tell
That's
you.
That's how they started. Came here from YouTube. You're reading. You're like, all right, we got cross platform fans. I just wanted to tell you it was trash at 9:14 and your kid's shirt was off.
Cross-platform hate is the strongest. Hilarious.
You really got to be mad.
I came here from YouTube.
I got to carry this anger over to another. Wow. Oh, no comments? Oh, I'll be the judge of that.
People have time today, cuz.
Wow.
I need comments. That's the validation of it.
Absolutely.
Because a like is just like, eh.
Yeah. And I didn't realize how many videos I like watch in the background while I scroll through the comments. And be like, what is the people think?
I let the comments decide what's funny. Like, if I have a three-minute video and I want to make it a one-minute for Instagram, I just go to the comments and see what the most, whatever quote was like upvoted the most. And then I'm like, smart. Oh, that's what people think is funny.
Oh, that's what's up.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to steal that.
You got a lot of great ideas, Trev, man. Trev is killing.
I learned a lot from you.
Nah, man.
Buddy, why do you think I'm doing this with him?
Get on early, bro. Be his Dunkelman. Remember Dunkelman? With American Idol, he was on the first season. You guys might be too young for
No. I remember the story, though.
Okay, so there was two hosts for American Idol. Ryan Dunkelman and Ryan Seacrest. Maybe his name wasn't Ryan, whatever.
Dunkelman.
So he was like, yo, this is too mean. Like, you guys are too mean to people, and I don't think the show's going to go anywhere.
Imagine American Idol being too mean for you.
Right. So he quit. And he was like, this is the worst decision I ever made. Ryan Seacrest became a multi-millionaire from American Idol. He went on to produce all this crap at E! And all that stuff.
Dunkelman
could have been right there.
Bro.
Stick with Trev, man. It's all about finding somebody. Your boy.
I know, but now I feel sort of sidekick-ish in this conversation.
At the beginning, they were both startup the same.
All right.
You and Trev, you started this podcast. No matter what happens.
Right.
Because you never know. You book a movie, you blow up. Now he's like, oh, that's my boy from my podcast. Like, it's always a race to see who got to the...
All the people who didn't mess with me on social media in the beginning are now starting to like respond to my DMs. Oh, bro, I got to get you in the office. Da-da-da-da-da.
Really?
Oh,
don't you feel 100%. So powerful now?
Yeah. I do. in a good and a bad way. Because deep down, I was like, nah, don't respond. And then they're like, come in. I'm like, yeah, I'm there. Like, it's like, there's something about you that's like, no matter how disrespected. Like, you know, the biggest thing that I see is that girls that rejected me in college are now like, that's so funny, your story. And I was like,
I look the same.
2014. Right. I've literally had the same haircut since I was born. And like, now girls are messaging.
That's hilarious.
You come out your own vagina, you have the placenta in there.
That's how I spiked it back, dude. Everybody wants to know like what hair gel I use. It's all
hilarious.
Natural.
It's
all natural.
My placenta. First thing, like, I can't leave the nursery with this. Come on. Help me the way out, man. I gotta show the whole world what's up. No product?
We're gonna throw it away. No. Say that. He's gonna need that in the future.
I can't leave the nursery like this. Oh, I'm dying.
That's all I got going on is this hair, man. But I've learned a lot from you. One of the questions that I got asked was, what was your first impression of me? Because the first job I had moving to LA was working at All Def Digital, and you interviewed me. It was you and...
Really?
Yeah, I was as an intern.
Really?
So it was you. I had two interviews. It was with... it was you and Big Pats fan. Who's his name?
Pats fan?
Yeah.
James?
Yeah, James.
Yeah. Together?
I think it was separate days.
Yo, it seems like you made a big impact.
That's what I was going to say. Your first impression wasn't much because I don't even remember that day. Like,
no, it was
forgettable.
It was two.
Your first thing.
No, it was two interviews.
Forgettable. I think I interviewed a lot of people this is not a shot at you. The intern interviews, I was like, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just felt like everybody's going to be great in an interview. In this situation, like, right, your work is going to really determine whether you're good or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, most people, I'm a magician at interview. I'm a terrible employee for the most part.
True.
But I'll kill an interview.
Oh, yeah.
But as an intern, I thought you were super bright. And the thing about you that I think really worked, if you got the culture, like, down. We always say, like, black culture, hip-hop. Like, hip-hop is a culture. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like you don't have to be black to understand it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you, within your area, like, you never were typing the N-word. You know what I mean? But within your arena, you got the jokes. It's really hard to get the jokes of black culture and not be black. Right. And that's why
and not overstep.
Like, it's really hard. But this was way later. Like, early on, I just thought you were pretty sharp, pretty witty. I remember I gave you, like, notes on scripts. You were one of the few interns who actually, like, gave good notes.
Oh, I thought that was my moment of stardom. It's like, yeah, just read through the script. And it was like an Instagram story.
Yeah.
I was like, so you see the director here. There's not enough ass shaking within 13 seconds.
But no, you were super bright, worked really hard, attentive. I mean, you really, and that was before I knew you did comedy. And then I found your vines. It was very bro-y, very frat bro humor.
That's what's so funny is like,
we still don't really know if he does comedy. We're still trying to,
came on the road with me last year. Was that last year?
Yeah.
You came and did some black rooms and you held your own with the blacks.
Man,
and I know that can be really intimidating.
That's funny because the hardest I've ever bombed, I was like 6 months into comedy and it was an urban room and whoo!
Stings.
It was quieter than quiet. It made a quiet, what's that movie called?
A Quiet Place?
It made A Silent Place sound like a roaring ovation. A Quiet Place.
Quiet Place.
That's how nervous I got just thinking of this PTSD. It made A Quiet Place sound like a standing ovation. It was, you know when you hear somebody just stirring the ice in like the back?
Yes!
The ice stir is the most disrespectful thing ever in comedy.
When you hear the bathroom door open, you know that you were doing
Somebody just unlock their phone from the bathroom?
Man. You hear a YouTube video playing in the back?
Funny, man.
So I think I just learned that's why I like doing urban rooms. It's like, it's not so much about your jokes, it's about who you are. And it's like,
absolutely.
If you go straight
it's
into your jokes,
bro.
Bomb like so hard. You walk out there, so what do you do? They're like, no.
Black people ain't trying to hear. It's so funny. This comedian said this isn't my joke. But you know, like he was saying, like how Seinfeld does observational humor. Think about paper clips, right? He was like, you try that in a black world. He's like, man, we got bills to pay. Ain't nobody trying to hear that, bro. About no paper clips. What's up with your life? You know what I mean?
That is very
accurate. We're more forgiving than that, and I love Seinfeld. But
I literally just saw Seinfeld a few weeks ago.
How was it? I saw that.
It was very much like you just said. Like, he spent 10 minutes talking about emojis, and he's like, I mean, what's it like? All
what
I can
is
hear,
the thing?
What's the deal with that? And it's really funny, but his point of view has been the same for so long.
Absolutely.
It is so impressive, though. I heard, you guys know Gary Goldman, the stand-up?
Yeah.
He's very Seinfeldian. His writing is bananas. I watched him 12 minutes talk about parfaits. 12?
Like yogurt parfaits?
Yes, bro. 12
really?
Minutes.
That's like Tony Baker's been on coleslaw. I saw him do like at the comedy store. He did 10 minutes on it. And I was just like, that's how you extract a joke. Different angle.
Like Carlin was able to do that. I that's not my skill set. I leave all type of meat on the bone. Like if I ain't killing you, I'm moving on to this.
Oh, yeah.
Because you really have to have some patience to really like drill down. I'd be like, I want to talk about something else.
Well, what do you like to talk about?
I like to talk about my point of view on life. Experiences. And I found like that way. And then I talk about black church a lot because that's how I grew up and a lot of my audience went or still goes.
Yeah, yeah.
But I found talking about life from my point of view makes it a lot easier to differentiate myself from other comedians.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? And people can't see your stuff.
I don't know if I struggle with that as much, but you can, it's impossible to steal my story, way I tell it. You know what I mean?
It's also like you tend to, if you're talking about something that's not authentic to you, you tend to lose passion for it.
Yeah.
If you're talking about your family or something that's important to you, which is obviously your family, you tend to not lose passion.
Absolutely.
And when you're doing it, when you're on a tour, you're doing 60 cities, you're going to get bored of it if it's not true to you.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So
you have the same, do you switch it up or you do the same?
No. I do. Well, now I'm doing a new set than last year.
Right.
But between cities, I mean, I might tweak, tag, drop some jokes. If something hasn't worked in like 3 or 4 cities, there's something that I was working on earlier. It's just I could not get it to a point where it was worth continuing.
Uh-huh.
And it stung because I was like, man, I really like this. But I just couldn't find it funny enough to like, it wasn't like on the level of everything else.
Right.
So I had to let it go. But I rarely start a brand new joke. You know what I mean?
Right.
on a tour. Well, I mean, on a tour, like I've done a lot. This is just my second one.
I hate when you had that new thing and you're like, yo, this is fire. And it just will not work.
First time you do it, it works because you have so much cash behind
That's happened to me.
And then you do it again, and you throw it out there, and the crowd's like, and then? And you're like, what do you mean, and then? That's it.
That is the joke.
Yeah.
It's over. There's a joke I used to do that I try to bring back, and it's from early in my stand-up comedy career, and it used to be like my closer and a monster, and I try to bring it back this year, and I just can't.
Hey, Microsoft, huh? They're like,
I can't. I just can't. Like, it's okay, but it's not like, all I can ever think about is how good it used to be.
Dang.
And I don't know what it is that I'm doing wrong, but I just.
Have you listened to how you.
Nah, I never listened. I never tape any
of my sets. To me, that happens a lot, and it's because, to me, it's because the level at which you were funny when that was murdering was way lower. So now you're way funnier than the joke is.
That might be it.
You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah.
Because I was really starting early, and I was like, "This is it almost killing."
Because the audience was like, "Thank God this is something funny," because all your other stuff is garbage.
Yeah.
When you were like whatever years in, but now you're so much funnier than that. Like,
that's a good point.
Microsoft joke, whatever.
I was working out a lot of brand new material, and that was the one thing that I was doing like every time.
Right.
So maybe that's you gave me some peace about myself.
Yes.
Because I missed it. I was just like, man, that joke used to kill and I can't find it.
I just gave Kev on stage like peace. Hey, I think, man. I'm done, dude.
You're a comedian. Dude, you are Jerry Seinfeld. You are the Seinfeld.
Anyways, a yogurt.
Something I do love about your comedy is it's clean, but it's you don't ever watch it and be like, nah, he could have said fuck there.
Right.
He could have thrown that out. I've never But you hit on all the subjects,
mm-hmm.
which is, it makes me feel like a worse comic. And I was like,
well, here's
when
the
you
thing,
watch somebody
you
crush clean.
You shouldn't, because that's expression of my life. Like, I don't crush regular life.
Exactly.
So I can't, like, I'm not, people always think, well, how do you censor yourself? Like, I'm not censoring myself.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. I never cursed. When I was a kid, we could not cuss. We couldn't cuss at home, never.
Right.
And I was not those people like, well, I'll cuss at school, but not at home. Like, That was too dangerous, because if I would have done it, like, my mom would have knocked my lips
off. Subconsciously.
If I would have slipped ever, like, that was like, we grew up super, super churchy. So I just, you know, what's funny, like, in school, I'd tell stories and stuff. And, you know, at the homies, you know, in the cafeteria or after basketball practice or whatever. So I just never cussed in life. So I never had to cuss in my jokes. But I think it's sometimes, you know, it's just a reflection of who you are as a person. You know, it's a lot easier for me because now I don't have to have like a blue set and a clean set and a corporate set.
Right.
And you know, you have to have like a squeaky clean corporate gig set. And then like a college show, you can be a little, you know, bluer or whatever. And then like, you know, there's dark rooms and all that stuff. So I don't really have that. I just have my jokes. But one of my things was, I was hoping when people saw me, they would be like, that last dude cuss? I don't remember if he cussed or not. Like,
you don't even know until you leave.
You don't even know. Like, and that dude was funny, and I don't think he cussed, or then just not even think about it. Like, when I was really trying to make a name for myself early on, it was no Kev on stage. It was just coming to the stage, Kevin Fredericks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to separate myself from the other four comedians that you see. Like, not in a bad way, just I want you to remember, oh, that guy had that one joke. You know, that type of thing. Because then I was just trying to get people to follow me on Twitter. I remember that was like, if I could get like 5 or 6 follows from, I remember like, I got 30.
But here's the thing, there's still people stuck in that, like, kind of, like, that's their way that they're going to achieve fame, is like, plug their Instagram. I've seen so many people bomb on stage and then plug their Instagram.
Bro, I've seen people bomb at
that's got to be a tactic. Like,
dude, it might be a hate follow.
If you bombed and you were just like, I didn't do well enough to tell you to follow me, so just don't follow me.
Or
like,
if there's a way to give you some followers from me, I feel bad. Here's some followers, bro.
If you want
to
tell me how bad it went tonight, just go tweet me.
Yeah, you can't go on YouTube and say, you can't comment on my videos
That's
anymore.
It's so funny, though. Like, in this day and age, it's like, you don't need to plug your social media. You can't have to show, and if you have a big headlining show and it's like your club and stuff like that, definitely. But it's like, you probably found more people just like through the internet. Oh, obviously. But.
Well, yeah. The funny thing is, so in digital years, I'm really old. Like,
you're
because
like,
I started.
You're OG of this.
I got on YouTube. My kids just asked me this. What was the first year you posted a video?
Dang.
And it was 2009. We were watching it. Like, I wasn't a YouTuber.
Ago.
Yeah. 10 years ago. And I was just like, I want to post this so we don't lose it. You know what I mean?
Doing like, in 2009.
Yeah.
I was
you were
sophomore in high school. I was just smoking weed and just being.
You were smoking weed in high school?
Oh, man.
It's so funny.
I was projected to not do shit with my life.
And they projected well, bro. Yeah! Look at that.
I have a podcast talking about coming in socks. No, like my, I was not on the right path. Like,
That's funny.
I was just.
I would have thought that.
I had, yeah, we talked about this before. Like, I smoked weed. I had a Honda Civic with 212s in the back.
So you were Bryson.
Yes.
That Bryson was like, that's why it's so easy for you.
I used to shop at Zoomies all the time. In high school, that was like, I would get my Friday fit Thursday night from Zoomies. Hand press a diamond t-shirt in like hundreds. No, and I would rock that so hard to school.
Tully's or Tilly's.
You know the culture, okay?
I go by there sometimes. Yeah. Those skater shoes are heavy, man. Oh, I try to buy them.
A pair of Osiris's could knock out a family of four, dude. Have you seen those?
But Oh, yeah. There's a Zoomies in my mall.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when I first started, it was, at this time, only YouTube held video.
Right.
Facebook, Instagram. I don't think, actually, it was only YouTube and Facebook, I think.
Nobody considered. I don't even remember seeing videos on Facebook. Until
No. You couldn't. No, you used to post links. You could post links on Facebook, and that's how I started. So I was just posting them to share with my friends.
Yeah.
So first it was like, I was known for stand-up, and then you like, hey, follow me on
social
media.
And this was out
media.
Of?
This is in Washington.
Tacoma?
Yeah, Tacoma, Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, yeah, follow me on Twitter. You know, I'm growing. And then, you know, my Twitter, that's how I was most popular on Twitter first.
Yeah.
When my popular, I mean, I had like 3,000 followers.
Tacoma popular.
Tacoma popular. And that, in my, that was all I wanted. Yeah. Like in Tacoma, I was the man.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I used to do a show, Nate Jackson. It was his room.
Yeah,
so I used to perform with him. Yeah, he's a monster on stage. And that really helped me because I was like, you're not going to just blow me out. Like, I got to.
Right.
And he used to murder.
Like, I'm the Tacoma dude.
Yeah, he was absolutely the dude. Like, because he owned the show and operated.
So he had 4,000 followers.
He had 4,000 followers. Ooh. And he lived in L.A. It was like, he composed back and forth.
A show in your hometown. You coming here from L.A.?
Man, he used to kill.
Yeah. Got that pleather jacket on stage and everything. Yeah.
So first I was growing, then people were coming on Twitter because of my stand-up. And then when 2012, we posted our first, I remember we did a play, we pitched it to Tyler Perry's booker, somebody who was working with Tyler Perry, and he loved it. And he was like, we want to put it up in Oakland. And all I need you guys to do is come up with $300,000 for two shows.
$300,000.
Yeah, and I was like, cool. Like, that could have been any number. $3 million, $3 billion.
It's not.
At that time, I was like 20. I don't, 300. Where would I even begin to get that?
I love how he goes, all you need to do.
Right. Oh, is come up with $300,000.
Also, you're like, this is not how this works. You pay me to put
I was like, I don't have that. Why would I have that?
Even sell a white baby for $300,000. It's so expensive.
Maybe in Cambodia or something, but that is such a random number. It's almost like
that's a house.
Tyler Perry saying no nicely.
Yeah, no, it was Tyler Perry. It was a guy who worked with him, like a promoter. We never even got that close to Tyler Perry.
I understand. Okay.
So we were going to quit. We were just like, look, we're just going to work regular jobs and like coach our kids in basketball. And I wasn't even tripping. Like, I would rather just know I can't make it than flat out than just keep trying and getting nowhere.
Right.
So I was like, look, man, before we quit, let's just make, I've seen this thing. At this time, it was Stuff Girls Say was going viral on YouTube.
Billy
Sorrells was like the man. He had like 9 million views on YouTube.
He still gets comments about that.
Yes. And that was like 9 million was just like, dude, you are a star. Yeah, yeah. Like, so we did Stuff Black Parents Say and Stuff Black Church Girls Say, and I wore a wig. We'll talk about wig comedy later.
Oh.
Yeah, I wore a wig.
Hold on.
But only, I'm going to tell you why. This is before wig comedy was a thing. This was like, Tyler Perry was popping, and I was like, we asked our wives to play the characters. Like, hey, we wrote these lines. Can you guys say them? And they were like, no. We're like, dude, this thing's going viral, please. And they're like, no, absolutely not. So we asked our homegirls, and they're like,
I love that pitch. Dude, it's going viral.
They're like, absolutely not.
Just not, but just like, cold, I have kids, like, not believing in your dreams.
No,
just like,
I'm not going to do that. I'm not.
But aren't you glad that they did it?
I'm super glad. So we were like, man, we just have to do it. So we bought some wigs, and we did the black parents without wigs, and then we did the black church girls in wigs, and both of those went viral. And like literally that was the beginning.
That format was huge. I know
everybody was doing
shit
that.
Blank says took so many YouTubers to the next level.
Yeah, it was like the cinnamon challenge. That's how like so many Glozell got on because her cinnamon challenge. Yeah. She was already doing well, but like That hers one. Went so viral that she got like a lot of
stuff like that is like people have already been making videos and they have a catalog. Yeah. But that one video gets everybody's eyes on it.
Bingo. And then they go back and be like, oh, you've been doing this, and they find you.
Yeah.
But literally we did that and it was like off to the races from then. Like every church video we did went viral. Like literally like the first 10 or 15.
And so those are popping off. You're still in Tacoma.
Still in Tacoma.
And you're starting, and people are looking at you like, okay, so now there's hype around you.
So it's funny, like just like you were saying about college, so I went to this thing called the Stellar Awards, and it's Black Gospel Awards, Black Gospel Music Awards. And the year prior, nobody knew us, just like, just
when you say us, that is?
The Playmakers, me, Jay, and Ann. Good question, great job. So we didn't go, the year that we went viral, we were like, man, nobody cared about us, we ain't going. So this year we go viral, we're not there, and people are texting us, Facebooking us, like, yo, everybody's watching your video, they're playing it, it's crazy. People, so then we went the next year, and it was like, oh, what's up? You know, sunglasses, well, we out here.
Sunglasses, you know what I'm saying?
So then my son, he used to watch me edit these videos, and he was like 5 at the time. He's like, I want to be like you, Daddy. I was like, you want to do stand-up? He's like, no, man. Video. This video, is a video. Anybody trying to go on stage.
Yeah.
And I did a video for him with him stuff. Growing Up Black, the 5-year-old comedian. Mm-hmm. So I like told him the lines. He repeated it in my inflection.
There you go.
And we jump cut it.
Finally got somebody on board.
Dude. That's all I need my wife to do. I could have made her a star.
He's watching at the dinner table. Yeah. This could have been you.
I wouldn't have to wear a wig if you just did it.
Yeah. This is your fault. So he went viral. And that led to him getting Awesomest TV and led to him being Buckwheat in the Little Rascals remake, straight to DVD. Don't get excited. And
really?
Yeah. Yeah. He played Buckwheat.
No. And then,
yeah, that's when we lived like Dude, right. I mean, your kids the
were, they would get like recognized.
Oh, they were like, stars. Other kids would just be like, they had a YouTube. The
pedophiles, all that stuff.
When Awesomest TV first started, they were stars. And then their YouTube videos got picked up, so they were on Nickelodeon on a TV show.
Wow.
That's how I got my first, like, I have like 26 writing credits on TV because the sketches I wrote for YouTube aired on TV. And then we wrote some extra sketches just for TV, and those got picked up. So, Zay Zay and JoJo used to be, like, way more famous than me, like, we took them to Disneyland. They were getting recognized.
Tables turned now, though.
Oh, man. It was so hard.
Bro, I got to get some kids, man.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And then they just were like, I don't want to do it anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, what really happened is, like, Hollywood's kind of a dark place. And for kids, it's a little worse because, like, it's hard to raise good kids in the industry. 100%,
because, kids, like, that's when you need your friends. That's when you develop as a person.
Yes.
And you see all these moms with their kids in audition rooms.
Yes.
And it's like, you're taking on such a vital chunk of who they are as a kid that turns them into something. Absolutely. That's why every Disney Channel kid does heroin. It's like because they didn't have a kid beating his ass.
So that's the funny thing. You know Alfalfa from the original Little Rascals.
Oh, what is he up to now?
He was a drug
addict. Meth head,
And he was like, it's because I didn't have a normal childhood. Like, I'm on set with adults all the time. Yeah, right. And people, they're really entitled generally.
Oh, 100%.
Because people, like, I tell people all the time, like, Hollywood's not in the business of raising your children.
No.
They want to get a good performance out of you.
That they know how to do long division. That's it. That's it. Enough.
If you want Fruit Snacks to perform, Fruit Snacks. You want a puppy? They literally offered my youngest son, who was 4. He's like, he did not want to act. And they were like, what do we give you, a puppy? I was like, what? I'm taking a puppy home. No. I'll take him out of the industry before.
Point where you're like, what kind? Like,
no. No. Because my thing is, I knew this was all fleeting.
Yeah.
And I know that they, whoever they are, like you were saying, your formative years, that's going to be a big chunk of who you are.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd rather them be regular, well-adjusted people than to be stars. Like, you know what I mean? So I was like, nah, ain't no puppy, ain't no none of that stuff.
When you're a kid, all you want to do is be accepted and be in the group.
Right.
And then essentially you're taking them out of the whole, like, group mentality, so you feel so isolated.
Like, and the rest of those little kids are like acting robots. Like, they're super talented, but they're like, they're not well adjusted.
No.
They're just like, you know, I got to audition. Like, and that's the other thing. Like, you have to sit in auditions every day. Like, when Isaiah was auditioning, every day after school, on the way to an audition, and he's reading lines, and then it's an unnatural level of rejection. They're no easier on you in kid auditions.
No.
They still don't pick you, and then no callbacks. There's it's my son was like
the lollipop. They're like, get on out here. Yeah.
So they don't know. He's like, man, did I do bad? Like, it was hard for him to understand. Like, why am I not getting these roles?
Damn.
I'm like, man, I don't know.
Damn, he had to give the puppy back to me. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's so crazy. I don't think you should get fame until you're at least 20.
Yeah, I feel like there's an old saying that like whatever age you become famous at, you like stop maturing at that age.
Oh, wow.
That makes
sense.
That's
what I was saying about Michael Jackson. He was like famous at like 5 and like.
That's why his voice was always just,
hey. Yeah, yeah. So I was just like, man, at the end of the day, when my kids are like 35, I just want them to be regular people.
Yes.
That can come to my house for Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and not freaking weird. And I'm like, acting will always be there. If you decide you want to do that, like if you really decide you want to do it now, then it's going to be tough, but we can do it. Right. But if you're like unsure in any way, and they were like, ah, my youngest son was like, bro, I ain't even trying to do this. I just trying to get some fruit snacks.
Right. You know but the craft services is hard to turn down.
Oh, my God. It was amazing.
Fruit snack, you get a little golden retriever calling the day. It's good stuff. Yeah. That's crazy. Oh, that's what throws me off is like there's ways. Because do you consider yourself famous?
You know what's funny, Trev?
I was thinking about this.
I was going back and forth with my tour manager, and he was like, Kevin, you're a
tour flex, manager, bro. So flex.
You got a tour manager. That's fame. That's
not fame. I'm kidding. Everybody has a tour manager.
He was like,
well, I did have one last year.
Okay. We have Holiday CBD.
Holiday.
I'm going to open a box. Look at this presentation, dude. This is better than any gift I've ever gotten as a child and as an adult.
Buddy, I think a stripper's about to come out here. This is nice, dude. Look at this.
That'd be pretty cool. Dude, I don't even need stripper because I'm chilling. I'm relaxed. Holiday CBD.
Boom.
It's 100% THC free and non-psychoactive. So you're not going to get high taking this.
No, you're not.
Why? Because it's in the middle of the day. I got stuff to do. Popped a Molly. I'm sweating. It's not Molly.
Ooh, you're not delicious. Sweating, though, bro. Is it? Oh, it's a gummy.
That's delicious. You want one?
Yeah, dude.
Yo, get in there. I think that's guava. Stiff Socks 10 for 10% off your first order. The link is down below. So work hard, vacation even harder, baby. I'm tripping out, dude. Psych. I wish I was, dude. Yeah. Back to the episode.
Okay.
No, I'm messing
with you. So he was like, Kev, you're a celebrity. I'm like, I'm not a celebrity, man. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I'm a dude who makes videos.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, look at what you call a celebrity. Like, look at their Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
Not their followers. Look at their Instagram posts and see how many likes and comments they have on their posts
versus.
And compare them to yours. Mm-hmm. And mine be up there with like anybody, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You're not, maybe not as many views, but as many comments and stuff. Yeah. Like outside of like Will Smith, his is like unnatural.
I love how he just came to social media and was like, oh, this is what y'all doing? That's cute. And then just blew up the whole thing.
Trev, I was like, please God, do not convince other people to do this. This is all we have. You guys have been famous traditionally. Don't take this from us, Will Smith. But luckily, he's like an outlier because he's like most celebrities, if you notice, they just post things like pictures, movies coming out. Will Smith is like, I'm creating an Instagram video for Instagram. That's time for Instagram and designed for Instagram. He's got that freaking lovability. Like you feel like you've known him your whole life.
Oh,
you saw him on TV and
you
movies
have.
For whatever. You know what I mean? So, but to answer your question, I thought about this. He was like, you have influence that's bigger than some celebrities. And think about this. If you're a Denzel Washington fan and you watch every movie he ever makes, he comes out with a movie maybe once a year. Maybe twice some years, and he's on TV for maybe 6 weeks before that movie comes on or comes out, and then you don't really hear from him before that. If you watch my videos, you literally can watch a brand new video every single day,
year
after year. People watch my kids. I mean, there's people who watch my kids since they started. JoJo was 2. He couldn't even talk. Like, Wild Thornberry's kid. You know what I mean? So
Donnie,
right? And now he's 10 years old. You know what I mean? Isaiah's 12 years old. Yeah. People are going back to our first, the ones I was telling you about. They're like, I've been fans of you since the Playmakers, which was like 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And I'm selling out tours like 12. We did this the weekend prior. We did 1,200 in Phoenix.
What?
1,200 in Vegas.
Dude,
like, in the previous year, we did like 200 in Phoenix and like 250 in Vegas.
Yeah.
So 12? Like.
1,200
people, and we had to stop the sales. Like, had we had 2,000 tickets, we were selling that. I mean, Phoenix was going. We only stopped because the venue couldn't hold it. We actually oversold it because the venue had said it was they could hold more than they actually could.
If I told people that I was performing at a place, I would get 6 people, and 6 of them would be people that I paid to go.
We're working on Chicago May 24th for 10,000 people. We've sold 2,500 tickets already.
Yes.
2,500.
Dude,
what arena is? Are you
it's
playing
a church.
At the?
It's a church that seats 10,000.
It's a
church.
Yes.
Do they pack that out every Sunday?
They said they get 7,000-8,000 a Sunday.
There is no better PR than God.
You're right.
Yo, if God tells you to go, you're going.
There he is. Yeah. That's funny. That's why I don't have an agent, because I've been getting, God has been doing stuff for me that an agent couldn't do.
No.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, I'm going for 10,000.
10,000.
10,000, Trev.
Yo, go to his show.
What's the biggest you've done so far?
Like 12 or 13 in Portland. Well, actually, Portland, Vegas, and Phoenix, all 1,200. That's the biggest. That's the biggest on my tour. I think I did a small performance at the Staples Center earlier in my career.
Small performance?
No, it wasn't.
A small loan of $10 million. Got real Trump right there, Kev.
No, it was a gospel concert series, and they brought us out because we were going viral.
Word.
So we got like a 2-minute, like, hey, you guys got 2 minutes because you gave us our videos for free. And there was like, I don't know, 10,000-12,000 people there. But that Sheesh. Wasn't our show. That was just like,
right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
dude, that's awesome. So beautiful though, man. That's so beautiful to look at a year prior and be like, all right, I went to the same city.
Right.
I sold 250 tickets, 300 tickets, whatever it is. And a year jump, you're selling 1,000 more tickets.
Let me
man.
Be clear. I was super happy about 200.
Yes.
Like, I was like,
right.
200 people in Phoenix?
Yeah.
I never even performed in Phoenix. Like, that's crazy. So I'm not even like, so then 1,200 just becomes like, this is surreal. Like,
it's a new notch in the belt.
Yeah. And most comedians, to be honest, as a comedian, the sweet spot is like 250.
Right.
In a small room. Like, energy-wise, it's the best.
Of course.
But as a competitive person, killing 1,200 people laughing at once is just like, take me to heaven right now.
What do you think the key is, though? Because Trevor and I briefly talked about this when you hit 100,000 on Instagram. Uh-huh. It's like the key in my brain, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's like you have to understand the metric at which you're looking at. So, like, that 250 is amazing. That 1,200 is amazing, but you have to keep remembering those in the moment steps, because that 1,200 stops meaning anything because you want to get to 5,000.
Once you do it, you've done it. You know it's behind you.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that go into it for me. Like, for the most part of last year, I didn't use any marketing, like dollars. No Facebook, no Instagram. So, and I capped, I sold, like, what was helping, black people traditionally don't like to buy tickets unless they think it's going to sell out. Like,
really?
I get it,
Jordans, yeah. Beyonce,
true.
We will wait till the last minute. It's always in the back of our mind, we're going to go, right? So, luckily, the last year, like, I was like, I don't know if this tour is going to work. So, hardly any videos or venues were more than 300.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had the cities that were bigger in my Facebook, I started them earlier.
That's what I did, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, if it works, it's going to work in these 2 months. If it doesn't, like, I'm not going to get to the third or fourth month,
gotcha.
Right? So what happened was, just off sheer excitement and first time ever, people bought. And we capped out at 200 or 300, so it was sellout. So that started helping sell out. Yeah. So people in other cities are like, oh, snap. Yeah.
Because they're looking at your flyers and each day it's crossed out, sold out.
So this year, I realized business wise, it's terrible to sell out 2-3 months ahead of time. Because that means you had a lot more tickets
you're missing out on.
Yeah. Right. So I realized, and then over the last year I learned a lot more about Facebook and Instagram advertising. And it's amazing with just that platform.
Oh, yeah. I just started digging into that, too.
It's oh, crazy. Man.
You can
the targeting.
Target to somebody who's ever even looked at your video.
Here's the thing, Trev. If Facebook is going to steal our data, and then I'm going to use it as well.
Just put it to work.
Right.
And people are like, man, what about these ads? Instagram, they hear me talking. I don't mind. As long as the stuff is relevant. If I talk about it, they're like, oh, man, I like box water. When I leave here, I'm going to get served an ad. I'm like, perfect. You guys are right in my brain.
Crazy,
it's super crazy, but like, somebody, I think Andrew Schultz said that, like, if the platform is free, then you're the product. So the way I see it is I grow these numbers as big as I can.
Yeah.
And then I use it to just drill down and say, okay, you live in Phoenix, I'm coming here live. You live in Alaska, I'm coming here. Or you want this t-shirt, we'll ship it anywhere. So I think there are some things you can do for anybody. Like, my special is available for anybody to watch, but my show, you can only come if you're available that day in this city. So, like, that's the point. I mean, that's why I feel like you don't need 1 million followers, because there's comedians who have way more followers than me that couldn't sell, because it costs you nothing to like a page or follow somebody. It costs you some money to buy a shirt or buy a ticket.
But to actually come out.
Yeah, and there's a big difference. And you really, like, a friend of mine's a millionaire, and he has, I think he capped out at like 300,000 on any platform.
Yeah.
And he's making way more money than me. I'm talking about months. He gets 300, 400, 500K in PayPal receipts.
Sheesh.
And he doesn't even have 1 million followers on any platform. And he became a millionaire with like 40,000 followers on Instagram. Just on that. So
I mean, dude, that's what we were talking about that earlier too. It's like the number to me, and this might seem very low, but the number to me is 10,000. If you have 10,000 crazy fans, yes, like that want to come see you buy merch or whatever,
yes,
that's all you need.
It's the Tech N9ne approach. Like Tech N9ne's never been one of the most famous rappers ever,
right?
But everybody who loves him really loves him,
yeah.
And they'll go see him every year. They'll buy every album. They'll buy all his shirts, and he's routinely top five of all rappers with an independent label because he just has a lot of people that rock him. Like, think about Blueface. Mm-hmm. Like, do you really care about Blueface?
No.
If Blueface is coming to L.A., are you going out of your way to buy a ticket?
No.
Right?
If I see him at Starbucks, I'm not going out of my way.
You wouldn't even go out of your way if he was in your way to talk to him. Right? But if the people, whoever you guys like whoever you really care about, you will be like, oh, this person's coming. Uh-huh. I'm going. I'll spend 50. But like the people I love, like Toby Nwigwe, a rapper, I spent $100 on his ticket because I wanted VIP. I want a lanyard.
You
I want a shirt.
Him as a person.
I care about
more than the craft.
Yes, I don't care. But Blueface has a lot of followers and everybody knows who he is. But he's just like Silento. Like, what are the chances of him being this famous again next year?
Yeah,
very low.
I'd almost hate to be in that position where you have a hit record like that. Like it's
nearly
crazy.
Impossible to duplicate.
Exactly.
And people know your song. They know you and they have no desire usually to support you indefinitely.
It's the personal connection. Exactly what you said before. It's like people grew up with your kids. They seen that growth. Y'all have inside jokes in those 10 years. Mm-hmm. You ever like watch like that's why to me like the show Friends. I don't know if y'all ever watched Friends.
I'm aware of it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't my cup of tea.
I'm aware of it.
I tried to get into it and I was just like,
yeah, they're in the fountain again. What am I doing?
And it's not because it's white. Like,
yeah,
like Seinfeld, I love. Curb Your Enthusiasm, I love. But first of all, you've been to New York.
I lived there for a while. Yeah.
Fam.
Well,
there's way more than white people there,
bro.
There's not even other races walking in and out of the coffee shop. Nobody. Seinfeld had black people speaking. Friends was like, we're just going to deal with the whites. Like, fam, have you been in New York?
Yeah.
You can't go whites 1 minute without seeing somebody of color.
Yeah. Also, can we discuss real quick that their apartment in New York would have been $77,000 a month? This bitch is a baker?
There's no way!
How many cakes?
Although, wasn't her dad rich? One of them, Rachel? Wasn't her dad rich or something?
Anybody named Rachel has a rich dad.
Yeah. That's just how it is.
I think I watched the pilot. Her dad was rich. But you're absolutely right. There's no way those people with those jobs are affording that type of apartment in Manhattan.
No. Oh, yeah. It'd be cheaper to build an entire city with that apartment than it would to have a studio in New York.
I tell you what. I walked in that lot where they filmed it in L.A. Bro. In my head, I go, hey, Michael, this is fake. This is not New York. But all my emotions were like, we in New York, bro. We in New York. Yeah. It's so real.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, dude, the smells. There's pigeons.
The pigeons. That's what locked it down.
No, there's no pigeons.
Pigeons in a halal guy's truck, and you're like, I'm home.
You know what my favorite part about pigeons, I'll be honest, is they don't fly south. That's some
pigeons
gangster shit.
You try to shoot a pigeon, they're like, all right, I'm going to move.
They jump up, they're not. They're like,
it takes you got to pull a gun on a pigeon. Like, fly.
But even then, they're like, I've seen worse.
You go out there and shoot me, cuz my son chases me. Is that brand? Nobody running.
Yeah.
I'm from New York.
They're so full of styrofoam and pizza. Like, they're like,
the pigeons got Tim's on.
Hold them down so they can't fly. I don't know if I've ever seen a pigeon fly.
They don't.
Bones on the ground.
Have you heard this conspiracy theory that pigeons aren't real? They're like government.
That's hilarious.
Have you heard
that's
that?
That's the funniest stoner thing I've ever heard of.
I saw a picture on Twitter of a bird just flapping right its wings just like that and not moving. It was just like this. They're like, see, that's a camera.
That's hilarious. You see that red dot? Yeah, it's his eyeball. No, that's a GoPro.
It's Illuminati, man. Hold on. What would the Illuminati need to control pigeons for?
Right. Out of all the animals, sales. Like, what if it turns out, like, you get to heaven, they're like, yeah, they were actually FBI. And you're like,
makes sense, dude.
So I was feeding the FBI pizza crust. whole time.
All of a sudden, they make pigeons eat Alexas, and you're just like, Alexa, hello.
It's hilarious. You ever see those people that have like all the pigeons on their arms in the park? Like
yes.
The lady Home Alone 2?
Bro, those freaking
bird
people.
Lady.
Oh my God.
Dude, that's an FBI agent. That's not a homeless lady.
They're charging up on the arm. Yeah. They're charging them up right there.
It's hilarious. They got an iPhone charger.
You never seen pigeons in the rain, you know?
It's
me.
That's great.
I think we're adding to this conspiracy about pensions. You never know.
The FBI was like, shut it down. There was a podcast called Stiff Socks. They caught on. Shut them down. I love the people that put stickers over their laptop cameras.
Oh.
Are you somebody like that? Either of you?
No. Man. Remember Batman? How many cameras there are?
Oh, there's cameras everywhere.
There's cameras everywhere. Yeah. You cannot get away from it.
No.
There's so many things that are constantly recording that the government can tap into at any given moment.
Oh my God. Like, my mom has a sticker. I was like, what? Mom, you're 50.
Do you think the NSA is like, God dang like, it, Mrs. Wallace.
She's looking up how to make quiches again. Somebody stop her.
Do you think that if the government wanted to hear your mom, they'd be like,
that's what I'm saying.
She's got the sticker on her laptop. What are we going to do?
I'm going to get through masking tape.
Yeah. It's a Winnie the Pooh sticker. Its belly button's blocking
it. It's also funny to people who are doing absolutely nothing. Like, the government will, I'll show them.
But no, but that's my point. It's like, real quick, what's your mom doing that she feels the need to cover the shit, dude?
The fact that they're in
Starbucks.
That's
the question you got to ask her.
Who knows, man? Probably something crazy. But the fact that they're already in Starbucks, they have a sticker over it. I don't want the public to see. You're in Starbucks. Everybody can see you doing this shit. I just want to see a guy who has like duct tape over it, like he's that concerned.
Yeah, yeah. Just puts a Sharpie, just hilarious. On his laptop. Also, it's like, but my whole thing with that is I'm not doing anything that's crazy. So if you want to listen. If you want to watch me jerk off, then I guess that's what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing anything insane.
Right.
So these people that are freaking out, it's like, what are you doing?
Really think your life's that interesting?
No.
That the government is like, whoo, boy.
I was wishing for it. That'd be my biggest TV credit.
Orange Theory today.
Man. Yeah, Orange Theory? You set up your laptop at Orange Theory? I'm solely going to start flexing. I'm going to do bench press.
Bro, you have a camera right here.
On your phone.
No one ever has tape on this.
That is true.
You literally look at this like, hey, I am talking to you.
Right.
Yeah. No tape on
that. If you saw somebody at the table on the phone, you'd be like, all right, you a pigeon. You're working for the feds. That is so funny. You never see it on the cell phone camera.
No. Which is the one that you have on you, on your person.
At all times.
All time. Alexa, your iPad.
You never see somebody scrolling with their thumb over it. Like, I don't trust you.
Never see that. And even if you did, if you had tape over yours, I don't have tape on mine, they can still see you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You literally have to have no cell phone and not be around anyone who has a cell phone.
You got to get a flip phone. And even then, you're crazier than, that's the craziest
thing. And I love when Apple goes, we're not allowing the government to jack our servers. Mm-hmm. And then we're supposed to be like, all right, man.
I trust you.
Once I
saw Batman, was it Dark Knight? What? When he used the sonar to find the Joker.
Yeah.
By the time it makes the movies, the government's been doing it for 10 or 15 years. So
what did it for me
that's
is
hilarious.
Once we all had, once you two was able to put an album on our phone without anybody asking, no consent.
Yeah, forgot
zero
about
consent.
That.
We all got me too'd by you two, and nobody talks about it. Like, it's just on our phone one morning. We're like, you remember this? And you're like,
I don't want, yeah.
Bono's just at you in the morning, like, hey, you want a little project? It's 11 songs for you. I didn't ask for this.
Was it the whole album?
11 songs. I still have it on my phone because I don't know how to delete it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
No and cloud. It's the this creepiest. Is just, you're going to listen to this album.
Oh, exactly.
That's bananas.
Yeah.
The cover is weird enough itself. I think Bono is just hugging another dude and they both have their shirts off. I was like, if you're going to throw this on everybody's phone. Like, be a little bit more approachable. Maybe like waving at the camera.
Yeah, just at Thanksgiving dinner. Something that's like we all can relate
friendly.
To.
Walking the dog, dude.
Dude's all oiled up.
But once I saw that Apple can just be like, everybody has an album. I was like, oh, the government.
Oh, yeah.
We're all screwed.
If you were a target, you would be caught. There's nowhere you can go. There's nothing you can do. They found Osama bin Laden and he never looked up.
Wow.
What do you
like,
mean?
They had drone satellites and they figured out his height by the position of the sun and the shadow that
what
it cast.
Are you talking
are you serious?
About?
This is dead serious.
They
this found
this motherfucker
found
like a flagpole.
And they had no phones in this compound, no internet, no cell phones in or out, none of that stuff. Only couriers brought their food, took it out of got rid of their waste, literally
never
had all that stuff. If you think about like a drone, there's somebody sitting in a bunker in New Mexico droning somebody halfway across the world.
Yeah.
Like, do you think they would stop us in L.A.? Like, they couldn't find us if they wanted to find us?
How boring was Osama bin Laden's house?
We give up.
Everything was eye level.
You know, he just had his boys over, and his boys like, what are we going to do? He's like, we're going to sit on this rock, bro.
For years. Everything's eye level. You can't look up at anything. That's great. Good for him.
Osama bin Laden, bro.
That's funny. How did we start talking about New York? Where did that come up?
Oh, I was talking about Friends.
Oh, yeah.
Friends get brought up.
Dude, how did you get back there? That was impressive.
I'm a great podcast host.
Dude, I don't know. Yeah. That was crazy.
I was talking about
essentially with the back to your like fans that are like very like personal. They know you that well. Because when you watch Friends for like a significant amount of seasons, they do like inside jokes within their world. And so that's what I'm saying, that all your fans have been with you so long that now they have like inside jokes within your world. That's why they're so connected to you. That's why that's why you're going to sell 5,000 tickets in Chicago.
10,000. Because,
oh, my bad. Yeah, that's why you're going to send 18,000 tickets.
Sell out all of Illinois.
But that's true. Like, I'll give you an example. Like,
yeah.
So actually working on this joke too. There's a singer who named Anita Baker in the black community.
Yeah.
You heard her?
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know about her, right? And just somehow in my life slipped through the cracks. This was in October of last year. Every video I post, if there's anything where it's like intelligence or something I didn't know about, they bring up Anita Baker. Like, oh, I didn't know, you know, Arizona doesn't recognize daylight saving time. Yeah, just like you didn't know about Anita Baker.
Wow.
Like, it's literally
it's the
like.
Running joke.
Oh, my gosh. Like, and there's some that go back for. Yeah. This is just the most recent one.
Your fans become your family.
They become your family.
Dude, what's funnier when you go to like a family event, you and your sister or brothers, whoever, and you guys are like making fun of your mom for doing something 7 years ago. Yes. I'm on the ground.
And like it
bro.
Just happened.
I'm on the ground.
And you do it every Thanksgiving and it's just as funny every single year.
Dude, and then you try to explain to, like if I try to explain to you and I'm like, and my mom dropped a Fanta can, you guys are like, all right, man, dope. Like,
that's cool. She's got shaky hands. Leave her alone.
Stupid.
Bro.
Yeah.
She got arthritis, dog. Leave her alone.
Yeah. My sister and I are on the ground. Right. And it's the same thing with how personal your fans are to you.
That's great. That's
and
a good point.
I think your videos are so good because all personality. It's not like some of these people have a million followers, but they just do Instagram comedy. It's 1 minute videos. Nobody knows who that guy is.
Right.
But yours is all, this is my point of view and personality.
Yes.
You're pretty much running bits to an audience.
Yes.
Without them knowing.
I basically run a minute of material every day,
and they know you so well because it's very digestible. It's like you're giving them stand up kind of mix with a podcast. Like,
yeah.
So your fans are. They're Kev on stage fans. They're not just comedy fans. Versus
absolutely.
Like,
a lot of people come to my shows. They're like, this is my first comedy show ever. And
I
they don't care where they're at. Like, right. I've had it at churches. I've had it at hotels. I've had them at comedy clubs, universities.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
People just look, where's the address? How far is that from me? Bet, I'm there.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting? That's not their first comedy show. Because they see you do a baby comedy
true.
Show every single day.
That's
so they're
point.
Adjusted to that.
That's a good point. Man, you got a lot of good stuff to say, Mike.
Yo, man, I'd say we kick him off. Me and you just do a podcast.
Stiffer Socks podcast.
Don't you do this to me. Don't you do
one black sock, that's one white sock.
The black sock is so big.
The black Nike sock? That is actually funny. A little tube sock and an ankle
it's just
sock.
A trash bag.
The Nike sign
the
on it.
The ankle sock is absolutely the black sock.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Man. Well, I mean, yeah, this is crazy. I've followed all of your footsteps pretty much and just like such a mentor in this, I think, just because I got so in my head just posting videos and all stuff. And you're like, just throw it all out there. As long as you're not losing followers, why would you not?
Man.
And that's what I think a lot
most
of people,
get
caught
in their
up.
Head, man.
Oh, it's a terrible
you
place to
bro, here's the thing you got to think about, Trev, my bad. Somebody who's watching your video, their standards for funny are so low. They're just think about how many times you're at work and you're just like, man, my freaking job sucks. I'm going on my lunch break. I'm just watching something on the internet. You're not great. You're not going on IMDb and like rating how funny that is. You just want to chuckle. You're sitting on the toilet like that. People aren't like caring that
much.
Yeah,
the brow for comedy is already
like people just want something to think about other than whatever they were just thinking about. So, and I only say that because you also never know how funny somebody else thinks something is. You know what I mean? Just stuff I know both of you guys have done a joke or a video that's a throwaway line and people think that's the funniest thing you ever say.
Bro.
You're like, bro, here's the funny thing I worked on. They're like, nah, that. You know what I mean?
That 30-second video, that was amazing. That's how many views? 5 million? Cool.
Throw it up, man. That's like, not like trash, but if you work on it and do your best, throw it up,
the best
man.
Example, this just recently happened to you, was the Fritos video.
Perfect example.
Did you see anything about this?
No.
So they were on tour. It was like him, Tony Baker, all those guys. And they were just on Instagram story rating. I don't know why I'm describing it. When you're rating But there's a box. You know the very standard Frito box. What is it?
Lay's, Doritos, regular and Cool Ranch, Fritos, and barbecue, I think that was it. And Cheetos. So what happened was I came in the green room. My brother was eating Fritos. while all the other chips were available. And I'm like, man, like, what are you doing?
Serial
like,
killer.
Yeah, yeah. Gross. Yeah, like, yeah. We're raising the straight same house. I don't feel like I know you. Like, what are you doing?
That's so
true. We start arguing, like, bro, Fritos are trash, you know? So Tony's like, no, Fritos are great. And I was like, we'll rank, let's rank these. And I just literally had not put nothing up on my stories that day. So I was like, I'll just shoot this to put it up on my stories. So Tony did his ranking, and Tahir, me, Doughboy, this thing goes so viral.
It's not even like on you, your face. It's just a voiceover.
It's just a whole bunch of video hands pointing at chips. Made. Everybody's got their own thing. This thing went viral. It was on the Today Show. It was on the Woody Show.
Everywhere.
Chris Evans, Captain chimed America, in. Chimed in with his ranking.
Monica Lewinsky tweeted it. She gave her ranking. She put Fritos on. First, of course.
Yeah, freaking weirdo.
Hold on.
Yeah.
She took a break from sucking dick to rate.
Yeah.
Dude.
Bro, she had a long day at the office, but she's like, hold on, Bill. Let me get after these Frito haters.
That's how influential Kev on stage is. The Monica Lewinsky.
It was on Fox News.
But, like, have you ever had a video reach that Excalibur of views?
I have, but I don't think any was, like,
on
network television like that. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I've had videos go viral, like, more numbers, but that was, like, literally every...
Public, yeah.
Everywhere.
You could have got verified based off that video alone.
Oh, my
right
God.
Now.
And I was just like, bro, this isn't even funny. Right. Like, we're not even trying
it's
to be funny.
It's just something everybody thinks about, but nobody's ever brought up.
Exactly. And so, everybody has an opinion about it, and that's really what I think matters. Like,
oh, the comments
because
people were going in after it.
Oh,
I saw, like,
God.
Five death threats. I was
just
like, what?
There's so many, like, different combinations. And people felt... I never realized how strongly people felt about chips.
Oh.
But I feel a way if you're eating Fritos... First,
yeah,
like, I don't trust you. I can't leave my kids with
right.
You,
but did it?
Fritos?
Yeah, you're a pigeon, bro.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Got a camera in there. But right. Did it? So that's just so funny because you randomly threw it up there. It gets all his publications, and then all didn't Fritos hit you up?
Yeah, Fritos.
No,
Fritos hit me up. They were like, "We want to do a." Because I tweeted at him like, "What up?
Run me
head?
My money. Yeah,
what up? Because you know, I ain't no brand gonna have that much organic.
Fritos couldn't do that much in 10 years. Of
never.
Ads.
So they were like, "We're actually negotiating." Quiet as kept. That was me knocking on wood because I should have did that.
Yeah.
But we're trying to negotiate a deal where I go do a show at the Frito-Lay's headquarters in our Dallas run and we'll see where it goes from there.
That's
and I'm like, bro, I posted so many funny videos on the internet.
Right.
And
like,
chip rankings is where like, oh, this guy's comedy. Like that's not even funny. But
that's the whole throw everything out there, man.
Yo,
throw it up. Let the people decide.
Cut to me in an hour in my car being like, Pringles! Fucking
the
Pringles!
Red Gatorade versus the blue Gatorade. But I mean,
rank them, please. Gums, Dentine, you got but, Winter Fresh, Juicy Fruit, Big Red.
But I'm glad you're such a talented dude because you don't have to try to milk that.
No.
Like most people, if that was their first video that blew up, they'd be like, man, all right, so five gum. Which one's the best? Like, they
right.
would do that to every single
right,
thing.
Right, right. And it would, up, lose its, it would lose it. It would lose
its
steam in a second.
But, I think that's just so funny.
Yeah.
You realize at the end of the day, we're all just people. We all know, no matter who you are, you have an opinion on chips.
Exactly. And that's what I do. I always feel like with my content, I'd rather you love it or hate it. But to feel nothing about it, to feel indifferent,
it's
worse than hate it. Yeah. I'd rather you hate it and downvote it and be like, I hate you. I'll sock you if I ever see you.
Right.
Then
but just
be
to
like,
watch it and be like,
eh.
A shoulder shrug?
It didn't move me anyway.
That's more disrespectful. Right. If somebody shoulder shrugged my video, I'd be like, what is wrong with
right,
you?
Like,
yo, they should have a shoulder shrug icon,
oh,
bro.
God, it
hilarious.
Would destroy confidence.
Oh, man.
Confidence would be destroyed.
Man. That's crazy. But... I mean, it's, you really led the way for a lot of comedians. And I think anybody that's not doing what you are doing or what we're doing is kind of like, you know,
yeah.
It doesn't make sense to do all that. But other than that, dude.
Yeah. Can I ask you, before we get out of here, can I ask you just one question?
Sure.
So through this entire journey, you've had your wife.
Yes.
Right? So a lot of stand-ups, maybe me included, I honestly haven't made a firm decision on this. So you've had your wife through your whole journey.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, because a lot of comics would be like, that's a hindrance. I need my freedom.
Oh, no.
I can't have my wife or my girl getting in my shit. Do you, like, so you think that was a big benefit?
Oh, it was the best decision in my natural life. There's two good decisions I made. One, loving Jesus, giving my life to him. Two,
shout out JC.
Shout out JC, the carpenter, marrying my wife. My wife, one, she's my first joke tagger. And here's the thing about her.
Really?
She has no reason to lie to me. So, like, this last tour, I was doing this joke, and I was, like, tagging it. And after one show, she's just like, ah, you know, you don't really need the Aladdin piece or that part. It's not as fun as you think it is.
Really?
And I was just like, ugh. And there was a joke that I was doing on the tour that wasn't working like it used to. And she was like, you know what you're missing? You used to go really hard, and your pace was a lot faster on this joke. And that helped build the energy, and that's what the audience got on. And that's why it was working. It was her favorite joke. And I was like, oh, you're right. I switched it that next city, and it was right back to being on fire. So just in stand-up alone, but in like business, like when I moved to LA, I was like, man, we own a house in Washington. I was like, we'll let it go to foreclosure. She was like, or we could rent it out. And I was like,
that's such a dude mentality. Like, I don't need it. Get rid of it.
Get rid of it. I'll flip it out. Foreclosure.
I don't even know how that works.
Rent it. And I was like, we could just rent it. So now we own a house, you know, in Washington, and we rent this place here. Like little stuff, just she helped me make great decisions. She keeps me humble, keeps me grounded. And when I was coming up, she, like when I got fired and was pursuing stand-up, she worked a regular job and held us down with insurance. Wow, and right. Like she made more money than me pretty much our entire marriage until I started working at ADD. Yeah. So without her, I wouldn't even have been able to pursue comedy fully because I would have had to work a regular job. Yeah. So
there's one less thing you got to worry about. You have a wife. It's not like you're just trying to not actively chasing women. Weird. You don't know who likes you for whatever.
Oh my, that's literally like my worst nightmare ever. Like anything ever happened to me and my wife, to try to find someone who really loved me for just who I am now. Yeah. It's impossible. They would already know who I am.
I'm 10 minutes into a date and she's like, so how'd you get verified? I'm like, here we go again. Dude. And then I'm like, I tell him and then we sleep and then it's all good.
I would rather meet somebody who doesn't speak English.
That's what I'm saying is like, I think some of the most successful people in Hollywood are the people who had their wife throughout the whole ride.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Because you have somebody who can be your friend, who can hold you down, who can lift you up,
right,
who can keep you grounded, keep you humble. And my wife is really funny as well, so she helps out. Like, and she,
you
like,
guys,
you
have
know,
a podcast
you,
together.
And people would like gas you up because, you know, like we talk about this on our podcast, the R. Kelly thing, like why those so many people like let him do that? And it's because he's paying them,
right?
And they don't want to mess their check up. Like my wife has no vested interest. And also it's also really great to know that if I like lost my steam and lost followers and had to just Uber or work at Target, she wouldn't care about that either.
That's beautiful.
Like,
she was with you before all this.
Bro, when we first got together, I tell this story a lot. I hope we have the time to talk about it real quick. When we got married, went to our honeymoon in San Francisco, we had $483, right?
Which could get you like what, a Snapple? And
so,
SF?
Dude, Trev.
Some Fritos, bro?
We were 21 and 20 when we got married. So we couldn't even rent a car. Wow. So to get from the airport to our hotel was like $85. So I was like, oh my
God.
It's
like that scene in Half Baked where he's doing all the calculations in his
literally,
head.
I'm
stealing from the homeless people out there.
160 gone.
Yeah.
So now I have $300 left for like 3 days in San Francisco.
Yeah. This is honeymoon.
And we literally ate hotel breakfast.
Yeah.
Had lunch at McDonald's, you know, burger place here. We tried to go to Ruth's Chris one time.
Yeah.
We literally had never been to no fancy restaurant. Right. I mean, like Red Lobster was as fancy as it got for us. Right. Admiral's Feast, holla at your boy.
Yeah.
So we go to Ruth's Chris. We're ordering or looking at the menu. We didn't even realize it was a la carte. So we're like, oh, snap, we'll get the chicken. It's like $37.50.
Yeah.
We can barely squeeze by. And they're like, oh, what size you like? We're like, oh, nothing comes with it? They're like, no, nothing comes with it. And I was like, how much are the size? Like $18. And it's
for
per
green
person.
Meat?
Yeah. We snuck out the back door, walked 3 blocks and got like cheeseburgers and milkshakes for like $11.
You know what though? That's better love than any.
Dude. Yeah, that's honestly, man. That's like it. I'm having chilled, bro.
Yeah,
because that's beautiful, man.
Yeah. So we went to Ruth's Chris on our 10-year anniversary. Balled out.
Wait, got all the sides.
Oh,
you got sides you didn't even eat them.
I bought lobster mac and just threw it over my shoulder. I ain't hungry no more.
You know what's funny?
Bottle of wine, pour it out of the toilet. We out here.
And you still walked out and didn't pay. Like you still.
But I can truly appreciate it because I know if I lost everything, and my kids too. Like my kids, my oldest son, he's like, oh, we're staying at the Ritz. I love it. But at the end of the day, they're like, nobody calls me Kev on stage at home.
Right.
It's Kev or dad or daddy. You know what I mean? So
funny if you're like, they call me Mr. Kev on stage.
You have to DM me to ask me for lunch.
Bro, I had to hit up the assistant to get you on here, fam.
I know. That's
you
the worst.
No, it's
like, I feel so bad with my friends of having an assistant.
Yeah.
But I literally was missing meetings and stuff.
Do
like, and she's like, do not let people, do not text them. You cannot, because you're going to forget something or I'm going to look bad. Yeah. So like you know, as you grow, like there's certain things you have to do just to maintain a level of professionalism. But to answer your initial question, my wife is the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah.
And it's so much sweeter to come from nothing to this with her.
Oh yeah.
And bro, I won. Like,
yeah.
I don't have to do nothing. I could do this forever. I don't have to be on. I mean, of course, we all want to perform in Madison Square Garden and have our name on Sunset Boulevard and Times Square.
Sure.
But as a, just a dude who just tell, all I want to do is be healthy, have my family love me, tell jokes, and travel. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
I just want to be able to go to new places, and I won. And I think my dad, one thing my dad ever, he helped me with is like, live beneath your means, lower your expectations so everything is grateful. Like, I'm grateful for every opportunity. I'm not chasing everything. I know all this stuff is fleeting. Like, eventually I'm going to not be as popular as I am now. So my hope is, while I'm on, to do enjoy as much as I can and put myself in a position to win as much as possible, but also enjoy and take some time off and go to Hawaii and, you know, do stuff like that. You know, you just never know. So to answer your question again for the last time, best thing that ever happened to me, wife and kids, and they give me my best material.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to go out and say, you know, the thing about Tinder, but the thing swiping.
Is the majority of your audience is married. So when you talk about married stuff, they relate. But if you're out there like 37, be like, these one night stands are crazy. There's one dude in the back like, fam, I know. And everybody else is like, settle down.
Start a family.
We're a condom. Start a family.
Yo, that'd be the funniest hack. Start a family, bro.
Everybody golf claps you off. Yeah, come on.
You're 40 years old, man. Yeah. Start a family.
Like, you see some of these rugged dudes who are just like the road dogs.
Road comics.
Been single in their 50s. Vibe, like, who else is on Tinder? It's like, don't even say the T word out of your mouth, bro. It's like, who's on Plenty of Fish? E-Harmony? It's like, dude, marry somebody, bro. Anybody.
The punchline, Black Planet. You're like, all right, man.
Yeah, dude. My time. You're in the audience. You're like, that's my time.
That's your time as a member.
You like yourself. You like yourself.
Yeah, it's time to.
It's my time. You've been a great comedian.
You've
been a great comedian.
You taking a selfie? Nah, we.
Oh,
we are out of here, man. Dude, I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for inviting
me,
man.
The insight is great.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, dude. So, I mean, I was going to say, do you have any dates you need to plug? But it sounds
when is it coming out? Do you know?
It's going to come out early May.
So. KevOnStage.com, everything. I still have some LA dates by the time. If this comes out in May, that'll probably be sold out by then.
But yeah, man.
Which is not me bragging.
LA's. You're literally everywhere.
Literally everywhere.
You, and then just your Instagram.
Holler at your boy, man. KevOnStage. Find me. Follow me.
And that's it.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Appreciate
y'all. Thanks for listening. We love you. Peace out.
Peace.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with washablesofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slip covers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at washablesofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.